Warning: The Mended Futures podcast contains stories told by guests that may be sensitive to some people. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed by guests do not reflect the views of the hosts and/or producers of this podcast.
Gosh, how do you jump into a final episode?
I think you just jump into the final episode. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. We have a bit of a different episode for you today. I guess it sort of doubles as an announcement.
We're here to close out season one, and we're just going to have a conversation and reflection about who's been sitting on the couch that's empty today.
Yeah, we're the guests today.
Yes. Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah.
And talk about some themes and, you know, powerful moments. And you may want to go back and listen to some of the episodes that we mention and see if you can find some of the themes that we talk about.
Yeah. So we actually will not be the hosts next season. Next season, you'll see two new hosts. We're so excited for you to meet them. And I'm excited to see sort of how they make the show their own. Because something that Allison and I have been talking about here before we started recording was we didn't know what this really was going to be before we started. And so we were like, I don't know, let's just sit down and talk to people about their lives and their passions and see what takes shape. So
we had an idea of what might come out of a show with the title of Mended Futures, but it far exceeded what I expected.
Something I think would be so fun if you guys would want to go back and watch through the season. We have been recording at least like 2 to 3 episodes like per shooting day, per recording day. So
shocker, we did change our clothes, but sometimes we forgot. Sometimes we forgot to change our earrings or things like that. If you see us, it may have been our third one of the day if we're looking a little bit cross-eyed or.
If we seem to be struggling or to have a little pep in our voice or a little bit giddy or a little bit antsy, that was probably the third one of the day.
Right. We laughed and called this the escape room. Yes. So there were days where we were in here for upwards of 5 hours, six hours recording.
Yeah. But we found that the people who were here on the same day, even if they had never met each other, they didn't know what the previous people talked about, there was always a theme or two that continued throughout that day. So we've always said that God is in this room and the spirit has moved so specifically on recording days. So it might be a little bit fun for you guys to kind of go through. And if you hear similar themes from episode to episode, you're like, maybe that was recorded on the same day.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever see my facial expression, if I look and do something, it was oftentimes so, I think, comforting that the spirit was moving very specifically. If it was something about foster care or something about parenting or reconciliation, there were certain things that we just kept hearing over and over again that it was really neat and it was really affirming. And as a person of faith, I look for things like that. I'm always looking for What are you telling us? What are you telling me? How does this connect back to the verse? You know, when you think about the spirit of reconciliation from the 5:18 verse, we talked a lot about the river. We talked a lot about, like, where are you on the river? In Vision 30, are you working upstream? Are you in the river? So you're going to hear us talk about a lot of the same things.
Yeah. And I think so many people were on in multiple parts of the river too, which I thought was so cool. You know, it is important to sort of, you know, find your gifting and find your lane. But I think so often the Lord takes you out of where you think you're going to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as a person who has worked in I would say a couple of places along the river, I feel guilt or I feel responsibility when I'm not in the river. Mm. And folks who would sit on this couch who were really intervening mm-hmm. were comforting to me. Mm. They were comforting, I think, to listeners when they would say, you might not be ready to foster, but you could make a meal for mm-hmm. a family who's fostering, or you could offer to mow grass. So I found that comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think any of our guests were the guilting type, which was so cool, because like I've truly met some of the most incredible, like inspiring superhero type people, you know,
right.
who sat on that couch. But
and
none of
know.
Them were like, if you can't do what I do, like, then you better, like, evaluate yourself.
Right.
It's like, no, not everyone can step into any space they want to. But
and I don't know if you could always see the props in the room, but there were always tissues mm-hmm. because I'm usually the one who was crying or was going to cry.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if we ever kept it in an episode, but there have been multiple times where, like, we'll be talking and Allison's like, hey, we actually have to move on because I'm going to start ugly crying.
Yes. Or we had to stop the recording because we had to go get the tissues mm-hmm. or we had to go get more tissues. And as a person sitting in this chair for season one, I feel so incredibly thankful that people who sat on the green velvet couch were willing to tell their stories mm-hmm. in such an open, vulnerable way.
And often so eloquent.
Whew,
beautifully done.
Yes. And there were so many weeks that after the recording, I would say, if you sleep on it mm-hmm. and you decide you do not want that much of your heart out there, mm-hmm. you have that right. You can tell us.
Mm-hmm. Not a single one of them.
And so many of them said, I want it all out there mm-hmm. because if it helps someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So while I'm holding the tissues, I'll say something that might make my eyes get a little weepy. My mm-hmm. eyes might leak. I could not be more thankful that we interviewed Claudia
Same.
Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. Same. I don't know if we've actually ever like fully said it while recording, but
no.
I think about a month after we recorded Claudia's episode, she, you know, had a traumatic brain injury and she ended up passing away. But I think the Lord has been, well, the Lord was so kind to her in the way that he prepared her to come home. And tell me to move on if you want me to, if you start weeping.
No, I started it.
Yeah, yeah. There were just so many things. The way that he softened her and prepared her without telling her exactly what was going to happen.
And if you remember Claudia's episode, Claudia was not a soft person.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia was a gritty person. And through the recording of that episode, I got to see a softer side. Mm-hmm. I got to hear her answer to the Mended Futures.
Yeah. She was proud of that one, too.
She was so proud of
yeah.
that. And she said before that, I think she even texted it, just wait until you hear my answer. And she said, it's going to be a mic drop answer. And as she was in intensive care after the brain incident, I went back and re-listened mm-hmm. to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been here.
Yeah.
We had edited it, which
yeah.
is a long process.
Yeah.
And I went back and listened to it because I missed her. And
right.
that brought some closure
yeah.
to listen. So I hope for her family,
mm-hmm.
her friends.
Her millions and millions of friends.
Thousands of friends, that something about that interview would be healing.
Absolutely.
And having the senior leaders from 518, having community members mm-hmm. from our region sit on the couch and talk about how they have taken the vulnerable, when you think about the widows and the orphans, taken the vulnerable in, and, you know, they're living and working in this environment. It was just, it was beautiful. And I'm really, really thankful that we had the opportunity.
Yeah. It was one of those things where it's like, man, like, thanks for allowing us to be the ones that get to do this.
Right.
Because I feel like so often, not even just with Claudia, probably at least at one point with every one of our guests, I'm like, I get to be in this room.
Right.
Like, talking with them and helping them, like, give a platform for their story. Like,
right.
It's very, very cool.
And so many things came out. We laugh and call this the escape room. So many things came out that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. The beautiful story about life after miscarriage and finding your pink, you know, hearing from
children minister to their own parents. There are multiple ones of those. I'm like, man, that is powerful.
The theme of how important parenting is, the theme of how much we need to help the helpers and help the parents. You know, we always talk about being the village, but the helpers need a village and the parents need a village. And even if it is a blended family or a vulnerable family or whatever type of family, everyone needs support.
Yeah, totally. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Why did you agree to do this?
Oh, why not?
I feel the exact same way.
I feel like you when you said, I can't believe we got to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine it. Like, I couldn't imagine doing it with anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, when we knew we were going to do this, before I even knew that I was going to be a co-host, I was like, Allison Jordan needs to be in this chair, in this studio. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And probably it was an easier yes because it was going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even more thankful for that looking back.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Because I didn't know the depth in which we were going to dive in this room. I didn't know how vulnerable people were going to be. And you are safe. You are peaceful. Thanks. You are kind. And there were so many times that I think you and I leaned on each other or we didn't have to say anything to know. Yeah.
We would just look at each other. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about the way sort of the camera shots are set up is that if the camera is on the guest speaking, you can't see that so often. Like, Allison and I are just like sharing a look, sharing a glance, like just kind of communicating with our eyes, whether it's like, okay, you take the next question, I'll take the next question, or like, oh my gosh, did you hear what they just said? That's the same thing the last person just said.
Right.
So
I'll never forget, speaking of Claudia, after some of the first episodes, Claudia said to me, you don't look like you're having fun. And I said back to her, I don't think I should be looking like I'm having fun.
Especially in some of the conversations.
When someone is sharing past traumas, when someone is. Mm-hmm. So for me, if you see me in other settings, I like to be the stand-up comedian. I like to be the hype, you know?
Yeah.
But in so many ways, this was not the platform to always be the funny girl, except when I said espresso. How embarrassing. If I had a double shot of straight espresso, I would be
Did you just say espresso?
I did. I'm sorry.
Thank you for calling her out on that. Oh, I loved that moment.
I loved when you couldn't count
on
the care portal episode because then it kind of canceled out. Yeah, it did.
You said there are 38 states right now. So was that 22? Wait, dang it. Is it 12?
Oh, no. That would be 12. How many states do we have now?
We have 50 states.
Yes.
Minus 38 is 12. Okay. Dang it.
So we need
you recovered pretty well from that.
Yes. You need 12. You can't see the person behind the scenes, but this is a pretty complicated tech setup, mm-hmm. and I was always worried about the the amplification of this mm-hmm. microphone.
As you just said that, my stomach
yes.
rumbled.
Yes. Or like, please don't let me burp. Or please don't let me have a booger.
Right.
Yes.
There were times when Allison, I feel like you love to instigate in like a loving, funny way.
I do.
So Liam would be like adjusting something and you're like, yeah, can you get on that?
Yes.
Can you hurry it up?
Yes. And I really wanted the ability for him to talk over us and say stuff like,
God in
the yes, to say quiet on the set.
Yeah.
One thing that I was not expecting, but we started to see it, you know, as we were a couple of months in, when we started inviting guests, we weren't quite sure how they fit mm-hmm. or quite sure mm-hmm. where they were on the river. And after they started to tell the story, there was oftentimes something that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And even if their connection seemed distant to the child welfare space, if you think about financial planning, mm-hmm. you know, helping to try to end generational poverty. Mm-hmm. You know, there were so many ways that we were able to see connections. And one thing that I loved is people started reaching out to say, can we be on the podcast?
That was so cool.
And that was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to all the brave folks who said yes
absolutely.
To being on a new podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of became like a really collaborative effort. Also, shout out to Soli, one of our producers, who like did all like the guest communications.
And, yes.
Like, everyone who said yes because like she was speaking to them. So thank you, Soli. But there were people from like all over the organization, people outside of the organization being like, hey, I really think you should have so-and-so on. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay. Like, we trust the vibe, you know, mm-hmm. we're just kind of going to see how it goes. And I feel like, yes, it was more daunting to like go into an interview with someone that we didn't know, we didn't have a whole lot of context about. But I found that some of those were the most rewarding for mm-hmm. me and the ones that I remember most and I like hold most dear, because it's like, how often do you get to sit across from a complete stranger for an hour and a half and ask them very intentional, vulnerable questions and mm-hmm. have them like willingly answer?
Yes. And I think it was comforting on a lot of levels to hear people reflecting back.
Yeah.
If you had been in this work on this earth for decades and you were able to look back and say, I didn't know why mm-hmm. God was leading me this way, mm-hmm. or I didn't know why, you know, the accidental career path. Mm-hmm. And then 30 years later, you're able to say,
yeah,
that's why. And again, throughout this first season, we didn't know what Mended Futures was going to bring. We didn't know what that question was going to bring us. And we wanted to be vague just to see how were people answering it. I was so comforted to hear that in a generation, and sometimes less than a generation, mm-hmm. people are seeing remarkable change.
Absolutely.
People are seeing mended futures. Mm-hmm. So
it's real.
Yeah.
It can be a broad, confusing question, but it's literally everywhere.
Right.
Like that was one of my initial hopes for when we decided to create this podcast, was that like everyone can see it's not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
It's just commitment.
Right.
You know?
And I think my answer to are you a product of a mended future gets richer mm-hmm. with every episode that I listen to. Cool. You know, if you had asked me in the beginning, I don't know how I would have answered that.
Yeah.
And we may have mm-hmm. in the intro. But now,
I don't even know if we had come across that question
yet. Right.
I don't even know if that was the structure when we recorded the first couple episodes.
Right. But now I would say I'm absolutely a product of the mended future, and I am in the process of mending my future and my children's, you know, and to hear different people's stories over the last series of months, I think my answer gets better.
Yeah. This is sort of a, a roundabout answer for me, but I recently found out that I'm going to be an aunt. So I'm so excited. Like my friends, my roommates know, I just say all the time, like, it's my dream to be an aunt. Like I want my parents to be grandparents more than I want to be a mom. Like,
that's so northern of you to say aunt
instead of,
cause I would say Taylor's going to be an auntie.
Right. See, I've been saying auntie a little bit.
Okay.
But yes. I've never said auntie. That feels a little bit too like fancy for me.
Yes. Okay. All right. That's exciting.
I know. I'm so excited. And so I think like being able to speak to so many people with such like powerful, rich stories, it's like as I move into this next sort of season period of my life, like how do I want to take that intentionality? And like I'm very blessed to have a brother and a sister-in-law who I love dearly and who I'm like inspired by constantly. And so, like, as their little one grows up and starts to kind of have their own personality and learn who their parents are, like, I feel like what I can do is just, like, speak into who their parents really are, you know? Like, that's what I'm very, very excited about. And I have a couple friends who, like, have toddlers and whatever. But, like, that is, like, a random little passion of mine. Like when people that I care about are having children, like I want to be able to be like, do you know how lucky you are to have the parents that you have, you know? So
the theme of the village.
Yeah.
So, and we've also talked about as we ask the guests, who are you? Who are you? And oftentimes we answer professionally or we answer in one way.
Very American of us.
Yes. Or we answer in one way. And really, who are you in all of your roles or who are you in your entirety? So now you're adding a title or you're adding a layer there. So I do think that that has been really neat. One thing as 518 is becoming 518. The spirit of reconciliation. And we've heard in so many ways, if you're fostering children, if you have a kinship placement of your grandchildren, you know, there in various ways, there needs to be more of an emphasis on reconciliation. And we're seeing it. We're seeing, you know, when you think about the spirit of collaboration, we've had people sitting on this couch that in the past, it probably would have been a perceived competitor. When you think about having different people in the nonprofit space or in the ministry space who are doing some similar things in a spirit of
looking for funding to do those similar things.
So in a spirit of reconciliation, I think more people have been sitting on this couch talking about ways that we could work together or ways that we are helping the community, helping the kingdom. I like that this has been a reconciliatory platform.
It absolutely has. Yeah.
The fatherhood.
Yeah.
The fatherhood theme. The parenting theme that we've heard about, you know, we've heard multiple people here talk about the importance of coming together for the sake of the child or coming together for the sake of the family. And you don't always hear that sort of spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to go back to Sean and Aaron Mills' episode because if you guys listen to that one, you might remember that I just kept saying like, wow, like you guys are amazing. Like I'm having trouble putting words to like what I'm thinking, but like, this has been like really impactful for me. I think what stuck with me so much was that they were so empathetic and loving and understanding of everyone in the situation and process of foster care and adoption.
The birth parents.
They were so respectful of the birth parents. They wanted to work together. They wanted to work with the caseworkers. Mm-hmm. And I think that is deeply reconciliatory. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, they're like, we want the best for this child. If that's you, amazing. If mm-hmm. that's us, amazing. Like, how can we work together so that this child has the best childhood that they can have?
And thinking back through that, Mr. Day's episode yeah. about the changing nature of orphan care, mm-hmm. just learning about when you know better, you do better, mm-hmm. and how the system has changed and how the system needs to change mm-hmm. and how we need to support the system. That has been really affirming mm-hmm. to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've learned so much about a space that I knew mm-hmm. nothing about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just thankful to have worked here in such formative years mm-hmm. of my life, learning to be an adult, learning mm-hmm. to be on my own. And I think that whatever is next and beyond, like, I will always have the river in mind. Mm-hmm. I will always have the vulnerable children and families in mind. Like, mm-hmm. how can we help the helpers? You know, mm-hmm. like, that is, it's become such a, like, a foundational part of the way that I think. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm really, really grateful that my first job gave that to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that's not very common at all.
That's probably not very typical.
Yeah. Should we cheers to season one?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yes.
Miss you already.
I know. Do you think we could have these chairs?
These chairs? I hope so. I should just, let's take them.
Yes.
And they won't know.
As our gift for being the host of season one.
We don't want flowers.
No.
We're taking these chairs.
We want these chairs.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To you and yours.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.